Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet. Locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Hour number three of Josh and Swain is here. Thank you for being with us. Love the energy to begin the week. We got Adam's tweet. Preseason was 10-2, now 11-1 with a trip to the SEC title game and a win in the SEC title game. That's the energy you need right there, Jason Swain.
Big energy. I like that energy. I don't know if I'm going to hop on board the Adam hype train or not, but I do love the belief in our football program and in our football team. I'm just not where Adam is right now.
Okay, that's fine.
No, not yet. Not yet. With Tennessee sweeping September, I do think it changes a little bit of the record prediction for me. I know we were talking 8 wins. I think if Tennessee winds up winning only 8 games this season, it would be a disappointment, considering the fact that you started 4-0.
That means 4-4 the rest of the
way.
Yeah.
So let's say Tennessee loses to Bama and Georgia, which I'm not saying that that's going to happen. Tennessee could beat one or both. Who knows? Right now, according to On3, I saw a graphic from them. I sent it to you. Tennessee has the 8th best odds in the country to win national championship. So it's going to be a good game against Georgia. It's going to be a good game against Alabama. I think we'll be right there with the chance to win and keep that game close. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know, like, with how Tennessee is playing right now, for me, the floor has risen a little bit. It's not 8-4. Like, the worst case, I'm looking at nine wins, and would not be surprised if Tennessee wins double digits this year. If you lose to Bama and Georgia, or you win one and maybe lose to Kentucky or LSU. So with how Tennessee has played so far, man, I'm raising that bar a little bit.
Yeah, the odds from Vegas Insider that On3 shared, you have Georgia, Ohio State, then Alabama, all very close. Georgia with the best odds to win the title, but just out of Ohio State, which is just out of Alabama. Then you have a gap in terms of the odds, but it goes Clemson, USC, Michigan, Utah, Tennessee, top 8 to win the national title. Think about the conversation right now. Top 8 in terms of odds to win the title, and you have Hendon Hooker top 4 or 5 in the nation to win the Heisman.
Good spot right now, but it's early. It's early in the season.
Spots are fluid.
It's the 1st of October. There's a lot of football to be played. There's a lot of work to do. So I'm going to let it play out, but I'm very, very excited about where we are. And man, I wish I was going down to Baton Rouge and being able to experience that crowd and seeing Tennessee potentially silencing the crowd. I saw what Brian Kelly was telling the fans in the press conference. Hey, man, it's LSU. It's LSU, the Tennessee game. Shouldn't have to, you know, tell our fans to have to come out at 11 a.m. I mean, it's a college football game. What else you got to do? What else is more important? So
yeah, we've talked about the early kickoff. I would think that LSU fans are fired up about a top 10 team coming to town, being an underdog. And I don't know how much they care about it. Enough are going to care about it with that passionate fan base.
They got a great fan base.
Yeah, I would think that that LSU is going to be fired up for this game. My feeling is that based on how LSU and Tennessee games have gone so far this season, it's going to be a pretty wild game on Saturday.
Oh, it will be. They'll be fired up. I think they'll show up. I mean, if Tennessee was hosting a top 10 opponent at 12 o'clock, we would show up. I think LSU fans will show up as well. They're probably going to be wearing white. So here's an opportunity for Tennessee. Are we going to see a dark mode or a smoky gray this weekend? I think it'd be a great weekend to do it. You play Alabama next. Don't see any reason to wear anything besides orange. You got Kentucky at home and Missouri at home. So if you see one of the alternate uniforms this weekend, you may see the other one potentially against Kentucky or Missouri. So we got plenty of reasons to be fired up too, man. It's going to be a hostile environment. And I know our players will only feed off of those fans, giving them a reason to want to have them really quiet at the end of the game. So I agree with you. I think this game is going to be one of the best games of the weekend.
And be ready for LSU to make it a 60-minute fight. In the opener, LSU made a lot of mistakes, but fought until the very end. Time was literally off the clock there at the end against Florida State with the missed extra point for FSU to escape. And then this past week, being down 17-0 against Auburn, LSU came back to win 21-17. Josh Heupel talked about how LSU has fought back, the resiliency of LSU's football team that Tennessee has to be prepared for.
Well, just for us, you got to understand that if you're on the up on the scoreboard, it doesn't matter. We talk a lot about playing at 0-0 for 60 minutes. The way they play and compete, no matter what the scoreboard looks like, you have to be prepared for their best for 60 minutes. You know, they are a resilient team. You know, they've done a really good job of creating turnovers, making special teams plays, creating short fields and flipping the way the game's played here. You can see that from week one all the way through this past week.
Yep. I have a feeling by Friday, Swain will be stressing those three-phase aspects to the game because special teams still be a question going in. There have been mishaps in the Pittsburgh and Florida games, mm-hmm. And actually others as well, where we're like, okay, got to tighten some things up there. But LSU has shown that they can flip games based on making a play on defense or special teams like Josh Heupel was just talking about.
Hopefully you learned a big lesson versus Florida about keeping the foot on the gas, understanding your opponent. I mean, LSU has shown that they're more resilient than Florida. Florida hasn't been down a lot this season. I mean, like LSU. LSU was down 17-0 at Auburn. They were down against Florida State, but they have shown that they'll keep fighting if you give them a reason to. So get up. We have to learn from the Florida game. You can't just expect those guys to go away, especially – not at home, man. They're not going to just roll over at home in front of their own crowd.
Yeah, and so, at Pitt in the second half, Tennessee was in a position to put Pitt away.
Yep.
And it didn't happen.
Nope, 100%. Another thing, LSU, man, against Mississippi State, Auburn, and Florida State, these are, you know, teams that are, you know, pretty good, right? They have won the turnover margin in all of those games. Plus +3 against Auburn, plus +1 against Florida State, somehow lost that game, and then plus +1 against Mississippi State. So, as poor as they have been offensively as far as explosive plays in the air, Daniels has done a pretty good job of protecting the ball. He just won't put it in harm's way. So if you are Tennessee, you got to be really, really careful about giving the ball up because LSU has been really good at not giving the ball up. So usually the team that wins the turnover margin has the best chance to win. If it's not the case, you can usually point to special teams. And the Florida State game, mm-hmm. where they had a plus +1 in turnover margin, it was special teams is why they lost.
On the flip side, something else Josh Heupel talked about during his press conference, what Hendon Hooker and company will face. What about that defensive side for LSU? What stands out to begin the week? Here's Tennessee's head coach on LSU's defense.
The front four, they're big, physical, long, athletic. They have the ability to apply pressure to the quarterback and break the pocket down. You want to stay out of long yardage situations against them. On the back end, they have a bunch of new bodies to their roster with a bunch of transfers. Those guys have played a lot of football. I think they continue to get more in sync and more comfortable in their scheme. And for us, you know, we got to have balance in what we're doing. So, you know, run game on early downs will be critical, playing from ahead of the chain.
Josh Heupel talking about LSU's defense right there.
They're going to be a challenge up front. Ain't no doubt about that. They always are. So you can't let them turn the game around by interception or sack fumble like we saw in the Auburn game. Hendon has to be really good, which he has been. Can't have any crazy snaps. You know, Alabama, Arkansas had a weird snap in the punt game and basically gave Arkansas the ball inside the 5-yard line. So you just can't beat yourself. If LSU is going to beat you, you have to force them to beat you. LSU had 5 yards passing in the second half against Auburn. 5. 0 yards in the third quarter. You know, that quarter that's right after halftime. Mm-hmm. You know, halftime, that part where you go into the locker room and you have 20 minutes to correct all the mistakes you had that you made in the first half to make adjustments. They came out in the third quarter and had 0 yards passing and then 5 yards passing in the fourth quarter and found a way to win. Amazing. Amazing. Don't help them. Auburn helped them.
Yeah, the first road win by an SEC team against an SEC team with less than 100 yards passing in 5 years. It was actually LSU that did it in 17. Saw that note earlier today.
They're resilient.
Yeah,
that's one thing you can't say about those, you know, Bayou Bengals. They are resilient.
Yep. Don't give them a chance to show that again this Saturday. No, will be part of the plan from Tennessee. What do you say? 865-656-9900. Time for your calls and your texts when we come back as we set the stage for a big week for Tennessee. Top 10 team on the road against LSU this week. 865-656-9900 to be a part of the show on Josh and Swain on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Josh and Swain here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Hope you had a great weekend. Welcome to October. Fourth quarter of the year, put the four fingers up. We'll talk about Brian Kelly, LSU, getting ready for Tennessee as the Vols go to Baton Rouge. 12 o'clock kickoff Eastern time this Saturday, 3:30 kick next week. That is official from CBS. Tennessee hosting Alabama, 3:30 kick at Neyland Stadium a week from Saturday. We'll also invite your calls and texts to be a part of the show, 865-656-9900. As we say hello to Don this segment on Josh and Swain. Don, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. Yeah, I was listening to your pregame show before the Florida game, and I forget who your guest was, but the subject of tearing down the goalpost at Neyland came up. So I've got a trivia question for you, and I don't think either one of you is going to know the answer, and that would be okay because it happened before either of you were born. But the question would be this. When did the Tennessee fans tear down the goalpost at Neyland in a game which they lost? Give me either the team or the year will be acceptable.
No clue.
Yeah, Don, you're right. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, it was against Chattanooga in 1958, and I dare say it was also the only time that Knoxville City Police used tear gas to clear the stadium. So that's one for your record books.
Yeah, I'd be mad, too, losing to UT Chattanooga today. We wanted to tear down a goalpost, too.
I don't even know if they were a university back then. Unfortunately, I was present at the game, and I stood in the last row to get away from the tear gas, and it was quite a scene. But anyway, thought I'd share that with you.
Hey, thank
Enjoy
you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you. I remember reading the story about it a couple of years ago. I'm looking at Knox News right now, and the story that was written. I remember reading the story about the riots and all that came out of that game. In November of 1958, Chattanooga's first defeat of the Vols. So, if Chattanooga came in and beat Tennessee now, more than the goalposts are coming down. I promise you that.
Yep, yep. Danny White, better buy some new goalposts. That's for sure.
And security.
Yeah, I like learning stuff like that. I like when fans drop knowledge like that.
Rush the field if you beat Alabama next Saturday?
Nope. Why? With Tennessee.
It's Alabama. It's been 16 years.
We're Tennessee.
Nick Saban?
We're Tennessee. We're Tennessee, man.
No, I agree with you. I'm trying to poke the bear, but I agree with you.
Yeah, I know we rushed the field versus Florida in 98, but I just think when you are Tennessee, at this point, like rushing a goalpost only gives the opponent that much more credit. So we Tennessee. Yeah, it's been 16 years, but rushing a goalpost, I don't know, man. Rushing the field, doing all the goalpost stuff, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not going to criticize anyone for doing it. I'm just saying I wouldn't promote doing it. I wouldn't do it. But if it happens, I'm not going to care. I don't think I'll be feeling is happiness from just beating Alabama. But I just don't think we should do it. Play LSU this week, Josh. Focus on LSU.
Stop looking ahead. This is when you get in trouble.
Because we're playing. We're playing. Yeah. You and I are playing because we can't talk about Alabama game.
Nope. Hey, so this past weekend, should it create excitement that you say, well, okay, Georgia still has some issues. Bama's quarterback's injured right now. You're only a a week away from that being the next game, Alabama. South Carolina shouldn't scare you. Missouri, they played well, but that's at home. You should win that game. Kentucky, they lost to Ole Miss. Should fans say, hey, look at all these opportunities? Or do you flip it and say, oh, but Missouri almost beat Georgia. Oh, but Pitt lost to Georgia Tech. Remembering some other games that happened. Kansas is 5-0. Anybody can beat anybody on any given Saturday. So should you be more on high alert because you're seeing all these teams that are lesser do well against better opponents? Or should you say, hey, big opportunity here. Let's go 11-1, as Adam suggested.
I mean, I would say it's an opportunity. But I don't expect the best team in the country to mow through the competition from week one to week 12.
It does not work that way.
I think for some reason fans of college football have the expectation. Like, the greatest college football team arguably was the 2019 LSU Tigers, right? They started off the season, they were in a shootout match against Texas, right? Early in the season, they didn't mow through people. Now, when that chemistry started to hit, it was over. They did mow through people. Mm-hmm. But, like, they didn't smash the opponent from week one all the way to the national championship game. Like, they didn't do that. Georgia last year, yeah, like, regular season, it was pretty much, poop through a can. But SEC title game, they lost it and came back and won the title. Go back and look at the national champions of the last 10 years. They've had a game or two where they've escaped or they had to make a play or two to win versus an inferior opponent. Like, you have games where sometimes you just don't play as well as you did previously, but you still find a way to win. I don't have the expectation that Georgia and Alabama has to play perfect each and every week. They just have to be better than the other team that week. And so far, they have been. But Alabama, I think, is mortal. I think Georgia is mortal. They proved that. You just can't go into that game and let the logo beat you. You can't be so intimidated that you make mistakes. And teams that have played against Alabama over the last 10 years, like, they've done that. They've had opportunities and they found a way to lose. Georgia, they're starting to kind of have that effect on people. But Mizzou did everything they could to win, probably should have won, got into the red zone, and the logo beat them. They beat themselves. I think Tennessee is a really, really good team, a top 10 team. We're not better than Georgia right now. We're not better than Alabama right now. But we don't play Alabama right now. We play them next week. And it's all about who's the best team on that particular day. Bryce Young is banged up. Nick Saban says he'll be back. But I just don't have those expectations of the best team, man. I just know that each day is different. Each game is different. Each week is different. And just because you don't blow out the opponent every week doesn't mean you can't go win national championship.
That's right. It was a statement while we look at the Bryce Young injury, and that will obviously be a factor if he can't play. That was quite a statement how Alabama responded, because when Arkansas cut it to 28-23, I believe was the score after the bad snap and score for the Razorbacks, I thought, uh-oh, is something about to happen here? And then Bama responded. That was a statement there. Don't assume because they have a quarterback injury the other side that, hey, they won't be any good. I think Tennessee's going to have a chance next week, whether it's Bryce Young or not,
yeah,
at quarterback. But also, on the flip side, don't assume Tennessee's just going to show up and beat LSU for sure. I would say the same against Kentucky. I would say the same against South Carolina. If Tennessee plays close to its best, then I think it'll control Missouri. I still don't think that's a very good team. They were good on Saturday.
Yep.
But it's a reminder, it goes both ways, that you have a chance against teams that are better than you, but you better be ready against teams that are not as good as you.
Correct. Yep. Any given Saturday. I'm not someone that says, man, Georgia almost beat Missouri. We'll beat Missouri, so that means we'll beat Georgia. Well, if you get that same Georgia team, but you may not get that same Georgia team. You may get the Georgia team that play Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
You may get the Georgia team that I think who they play and only score 20-something points against. One of those pay games.
The Kent State game?
Kent State. Yeah. I mean, you may get that.
33 against Samford, I think.
Yeah, you may get that Georgia.
49 against Oregon, yeah.
You just don't know which Georgia you're going to get. And hopefully you're the best version of yourself when you play those teams. You're the best Tennessee that you can be. That's what you want. That's why you practice every single day. That's why you go watch the film every single day. You're trying to be the best version of yourself as the season go along, and especially in the big games. Timing is everything. So it will be great that if you know you beat LSU, maybe it's a B-plus game, but then Alabama, you play your A-plus game. That's what you hope for.
Jacob texted in and asked, will you have Matt Moscona on this week? Tomorrow 1:30.
Yeah,
he'll join us to talk about LSU.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Matt, you know, as Brian Kelly, first question in the press conference about, you know, getting Kayshon Booty involved, and we talked earlier about Brian Kelly's comments and how, from Brian Kelly's lens, Kayshon is getting double-teamed and is leaving opportunities for Neighbors and Taylor to get targets. But, man, they're just running the ball with Daniels. Daniels is so afraid of making mistakes. He's not even throwing it. He's just tucking it and running it. And they had 5 yards passing in the second half against Auburn. So can Byron Young, Tyler Barron, Amari Thomas, can we get to the passer? Roman Harrison, can we get to the passer? That's going to be a telltale sign because the passing game at LSU hasn't been great, but it can be if they have enough time to throw it, especially against, you know, our secondary that has been really, really passive. We've been hit with the injury bug, and we don't have the fastest guys being able to cover man-to-man for long periods of time. So it's very important. It's imperative that our front seven gets to the quarterback.
Tennessee, 3 to 4 point favorites on the road against LSU coming up on Saturday. We'll come back on Josh and Swain. You can join the show at 865-656-9900. Attaboys to hand out when we come back. We'll be with you until 3 when Sports Talk will take over right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Josh and Swain right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Thank you for being with us alongside VFL and former Tennessee wide receiver Jason Swain. I'm Josh Ward. Tennessee at LSU on Saturday. We'll hand out attaboys coming up in just a moment. Tennessee looking for its first win in Baton Rouge since you were down there getting a win in 2005. Now, there have not been many opportunities to get a win down there. Almost happened in 2010, but that's how long it's been. I mean, that's just the SEC setup. You don't make this trip very often. So, special opportunity. Winning in Baton Rouge is a big deal.
It's tough to do. Really, really tough to do. That crowd is – the noise is deafening. I mean, Neyland Stadium, the advantage that we have had, you know, Florida game this year, last year's Ole Miss, I mean, the noise was something that you can kind of feel on your skin. LSU, they get loud too. They get rowdy as well. It's in Tennessee's favor that the game is a 11 a.m. local time game. But if you give LSU a reason to get loud, they will. And they'll be ready to help their team against a top 10 opponent. Tennessee's eighth in the country, did not move any with the bye week. So don't expect LSU to just be sleepwalking with their fans just because it's the early game. Expect them at their best. I think that's the best way to go into this game. And if you are a football player preparing for this game, expect it to be loud. Expect it to be the same as it is when you're at home and you're playing against Florida this past year. So you got to play clean. You got to play hard. We understand that is what the coaches are going to expect of you each and every time you get out there on the football field. And it's going to come down to guys making plays. I know offensively Tillman may not be out there, but what Brew McCoy and Ramel Keaton was able to do is really provide a lot of confidence with the coaching staff and with Hendon Hooker that, man, they can step up and make plays too, even without Cedric Tillman being out there. Jabari Smalltaw had a nice game against Florida, and a week of rest that's gonna be really good with his shoulder. So it's a heck of an opportunity, and those fans, you're gonna hear stuff that you're not used to hearing. You're gonna see some things you're not used to seeing. They're different down there. They are different. We beat them in 05, and man, they broke our bus windshield, throwing frozen oranges. They were not happy at all. So expect that type of environment. And that's why a guy like Casey Clawson used to always love away games because, man, they will give you hell on the way into the stadium and during the game. But, boy, They will be quiet when you leave, and that's always a great feeling when you are a player and you're able to go into another team stadium and beat them.
There's no better feeling, right, than being able to hit them with the hush.
Oh, I love
when you're on the road.
Yeah, I saw LSU do it to the Auburn crowd. And I mean, as a fan, what are you gonna say? You can't say anything back.
Yep,
you lost. So hush, take your butt home, get you some steps in on your Fitbit.
Thaw out those oranges and enjoy.
Man, hey, that's all you can do. No, they ain't gonna. If they lose, they throwing them. They are throwing them for sure. And if they win, they might throw them. So, but yep. Expect that type of environment for sure. When you are practicing this week. I'm sure the speaker system is going to be on 10 to try to distract our guys and prepare for the noise. But it's going to be noisy. Ain't no doubt about it. And just stay away from that tiger, man, when you leave the
Mike visitor. The tiger, you saw him up close, right?
Man, two up close. Two up close. And good thing for me, it was so hot that the tiger, he wasn't trying to work that day. He didn't want to be there. Yeah. He didn't care about intimidating the opponent. I thought he was on strike. He was sitting in the corner, laying there. He was not excited about being at work. So the difference is it's going to be cooler. Mike the Tiger, he might be active.
Give him a nice breakfast on Saturday.
Yeah, he might be active. So that's part of that intimidation factor that LSU is so famous for. Just don't look the Tiger in his eyes. Just keep it moving.
Tennessee's number 8 in the country, headed to Baton Rouge to take on a top 25 now ranked LSU football team coming up on Saturday. More coverage as the afternoon goes along all week long. Right now, here on Josh and Swain, it's time to hand out today's attaboy.
I just wanted to come by and congratulate you on the great work you've been doing.
I like your style. You remind me of a young me.
Failure is not an option.
That boy is good.
Don't remind yourself. Nobody built like you. You design yourself.
Attaboy. Presented by Native Design and Hardscape. We were just talking a few minutes ago about how, you know, it's not easy if you're a team that's better than your opponent on the field to win or to obviously try to go pull off an upset. Kansas is 5-0. How about the Jayhawks? They have game day coming to town. We talked about that option for game day, ESPN College game day, a couple of weeks ago when they opted to go to Knoxville, which I think was the right move for Tennessee, Florida. But Kansas now 5-0, another win in the Big 12, ranked in the top 20. We'll see where it goes from here, but the Jayhawks' preseason win total was 2.5. They've doubled it less than halfway through the season.
For sure. And they've had, you know, coaching carousel just like Tennessee over the last couple of years. They have not been able to hold down a coach at all. In the last, 12 years, they have had 6 coaches. And so they found their guy, though, Lance Leopold. I think that's how you spell his name, right? Say his name.
Yeah, Lance Leopold.
And
by the way, he was Danny White discovery.
Yeah.
Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo. So he has done a really good job. And Nebraska and other big-time programs will be, you know, looking at him. But he's done a great job. Yeah. And you think about Jeff Long and the great find that he had at Arkansas getting by Petrino there. And Bobby Petrino gets himself in trouble, and you know it costs Jeff Long, and then boom, Jeff Long gets to Kansas, and he brings in Les Miles, right, a championship coach from the SEC, and then they have that scandal happen. So they have a new AD, a new coach, and now boom, a couple months later, they're hosting College Game Day in football, and they're undefeated. So I'm happy for Kansas.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you mentioned, by the way, while they're 5-0, while game day is coming to town, another big opening in a territory where you could see him maybe considering it. Kansas fans do have to deal with, well, Lance Leopold could be a great fit at Nebraska, could be a great fit at Wisconsin. All these schools are going to want this coach who's really well-respected and doing a tremendous job at Kansas. But enjoy it, Kansas. 5-0, attaboy to everybody involved making it happen.
Yeah,
because the program has responded, including their quarterback. We hit on him a little bit earlier, but Jalen Daniels has been really good at quarterback for Kansas.
Yeah, he's one of those California quarterbacks. And he was overlooked most of his high school career and finally got a star rating a little bit later in his career, but it was overlooked. And boom, right now he's leading an undefeated Kansas team, a team that has the opportunity to make some noise there in the Big 12. So I love stories like that where guys kind of get forgotten about. to play good football in high school, to get forgotten about. They go to a place and it just works for them. And Hendon Hooker's kind of, you know, kind of the same, right? He gets kind of forgotten about it at Virginia Tech and kind of reborn again at Tennessee. So love stories like that.
Yep. Daniels, 1,300 total yards, 16 touchdowns, only one pick so far for Kansas. So to the Jayhawks, 5-0, game day coming to town, top 20 ranking, attaboys to all involved. Every day we hand out attaboys and attagirls thanks to Native Design and Hardscape. If you need work done at your home, the outdoor space there, or at your business, get in touch with Native Design and Hardscape. You can see the work that they've done at nativetn.com. You can schedule a consultation. They'll come out and see what they can do for you at Native Design and Hardscape. We'll come back for the final segment of Josh and Swain. Top winners and losers out of the weekend. Sports Talk will take over at 3 o'clock. We'll wrap things up in our final segment of Josh and Swain right here on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Final segment for today's show, Josh and Swain. Thank you for hanging out with us. You can always podcast the show. You can go back and listen anywhere you listen to podcasts. That includes the WNML app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Wherever you listen to podcasts, just search Josh and Swain. You'll find us there. We appreciate you being with us. We'll have another big show tomorrow. Dive in even more, I'd say, to LSU as an opponent. Tennessee favorite on the road in Baton Rouge. A top 25 matchup. This is your biggest SEC matchup, I would say, heading into the weekend. CBS went Auburn, Georgia, and Alabama, and Texas A&M. This past weekend reminded you never know, but sometimes you have a pretty good idea. I like Georgia and Alabama in those games this week. So Tennessee-LSU, noon kick, that's a big game for ESPN to kick off the day of college football.
Weird, man. LSU is the favorite. Favorite on the matchup predictor.
I saw that. Is that the football power index predictor?
Yeah. And then you know, Tennessee only a 2.5 point favorite here on ESPN. So you're right. I think the Tennessee LSU game will be a better game than Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, and Texas A&M.
Yeah, like I don't even think this is a bold prediction. Something weird is going to happen in Tennessee's game on Saturday. I think you always expect that in an SEC game if Tennessee's involved, or LSU too. A lot of weird stuff happens, whether it's Miles, Orgeron, or now Brian Kelly is the head coach. So I'm not saying that is a good or bad thing. Something weird's going to happen on Saturday.
I want to make this point before we wrap up today's show that Josh Heupel was asked about his interactions with Brian Kelly, or his history with Brian Kelly. They've never faced each other before. Brian Kelly was complimentary of Heupel's offense, and kind of made it simple to go up against Tennessee. It's not that simple. The fact that Kelly has never went up against Heupel's offense is something to pay attention to. Remember, Narduzzi went up against Heupel 3 or 4 times, and you can tell that experience kind of helped Pittsburgh out a little bit last year's game and this year's game. Brian Kelly never went up against Josh Heupel. Bill Napier, not a lot of experience against Josh Heupel. We saw that play apart 2 weeks ago against Florida, where Florida could not stop Tennessee at all. How much will that come up this weekend against LSU?
Yep. Matt House is the defensive coordinator. He was at Kentucky when Heupel was at Missouri. Okay. So you have some connection there. And he spent the last few years in the NFL with the Kansas City Chiefs, now LSU's defense coordinator. So, yeah, we'll talk more about that tomorrow and as the week goes along,
and,
for sure.
And Missouri did not run the same type of offense that they run right now. It wasn't as fast. So it was explosive. We saw that for sure up close and personal with Drew Locke. But it wasn't fast-paced like it is right now. So
right. And Hooker with a different dynamic to pay attention to, for sure. So, yep. No small task for LSU coming up this week. We say hello to John Wilkerson, getting ready for Sports Talk in just a few minutes. John, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing quite well. How about you guys?
Doing all right. And by the way, Swain, I think you mentioned it there, but the line has dropped a little bit. So Tennessee, a 2.5 point favorite now. After last week, it was 4.5, John. So a little movement toward the LSU Tigers on a Monday.
Could see that being at their place and all.
Yep, yep. So we'll see. Games aren't played in computers, although love to break the spreadsheets down ahead of time. We'll have all week to do so. Before we hand things over to Sports Talk, we'll close out today's show with the Power Poll.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engine.
Nuclear power pants.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
All righty, John, we have the weekend behind us. We look back at the top five winners, top three losers from the weekend. Would you like to lead us off with your list?
Why, sure. At number five, I'm going to go Chase Elliott. Became the first playoff driver to actually win a race this year. So he's advanced with his victory at Talladega. Number four, that's where I'm going to slide in, Ohio State. The SEC party, they crashed the SEC party now that they're receiving first place votes after Georgia and Alabama seem to have kind of a monopoly on those in season. At number three, the Philadelphia Eagles. The NFL's lone unbeaten had to rally to stay that way. Number two, the Atlanta Braves, as they have taken over the NL East. Number one, going Albert Pujols. First at bat at Busch Stadium, home run. Last at bat, Busch Stadium, home run. Albert Pujols, ladies and gentlemen. And then as far as losers over the weekend, boy, there were so many. Going to go honorable mention with the fact that there were five teams in the coaches' poll, seven teams in the AP that dropped out of the top 25. So we hardly knew you. At number three, Mitch Trubisky. We've got a cap and a clipboard with your name on it, son. At number two, Texas A&M. Stop playing games against schools with that have state in their name. So the Aggies fall again. And number one, the Baltimore Ravens. They have lost five straight home games, and it looks like the last thing they want to do right now is lead at any point by 20.
Yeah, if it's close, it's weird. They just, a team where you would think so well coached and a lot of history of winning, they've struggled to win the close ones late, the Bills getting them this weekend. Jason Swain, the Power Poll presented by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union. Top five winners, top three losers from the weekend.
Number five, I'm going with DK Metcalf, man. You got to be a special player to be carted to the locker room because you have to do number two. Special. That's VIP service right there. So DK Metcalf has put himself in that category because of his play last couple of years.
Paul Pierce salutes.
Exactly. Paul Pierce, Hall of Famer. See that? That's VIP.
A story I think Jimmy Traynor wrote up that the person driving the cart didn't have the necessary sense of urgency that DK probably would have appreciated. Not going fast enough on that cart.
Well, sitting down in that situation is probably better than walking for DK. Kenny Pickett put himself in position to take over at quarterback for the Steelers. Tyler Herro signed a four-year, $130 million extension with the Heat. The Braves winning versus the Mets and taking over for first place there in the division. And the Eagles, only undefeated team in the NFL. Big Jalen Hurts fan. Losers, Antonio Brown, what are you doing, sir? Antonio Brown's acting a fool in hotel pools, and he'll be questioned by authorities by some of his antics over the weekend. I'll let you guys Google that for yourselves. Jimbo Fisher, you know how bad you got to be to have boosters contemplating buying you out for $90 million?
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad. So Jimbo Fisher getting smashed by Mississippi State. And then Auburn, what are you doing? What are you doing, Auburn? 6 points in the third and fourth quarter in the last three games. You had a receiver reverse pass that was just absolutely atrocious on fourth down. What are you doing, Auburn? So they're my biggest loser. 17-point lead and found a way to lose. To lose at home. Not good.
Alrighty, I gave an honorable mention to Albert Pujols. Really cool note there, John, on the way he started and finished with the Cardinals. And what a season he had. It was not just a limping to the finish line for him. It was an awesome year. Number five, the Mariners. No longer out of the playoffs. 21 years. The streak has snapped. 2001, the last time they went. The Sacramento Kings now the holder of the longest drought among the big four sports. 2005, the last time they went to the playoffs. U.S. Women's basketball. All they do is win. They win another World Cup gold medal. I have the typical college football jabronis, number three. Kansas, Wake, Syracuse. They just keep winning games and moving up in the polls. Congrats to them.
Jabroni.
The Buffalo Bills, number two. And number one, not to jinx them, but you're soon to be NL East champions. Five straight years. The Atlanta Braves with the sweep of the New York Mets. Loser from the weekend. He gets a ton of money, but Paul Christie's a Wisconsin guy to lose his job. That's especially in the middle of the season. Tough way to go out. Oklahoma, what is happening there?
They
just got smoked by TCU. And then number one, Inverse of the top winners, I'll go with the New York Mets. That is a tough way to lose that 10.5 game lead in the National League East. Enjoy San Diego. That is the Power Poll. It is presented by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, your less red tape banking alternative.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.